What's up? Good morning, my wonderful audience. I am joined by Sabrina Tavernisi, who's written an article and voiced over the YouTube short video for the data center stuff that's starting to spring up around the United States. And you're focused on how you think data centers might be like a super hot button issue in these upcoming elections, or maybe even ahead to the presidential election.
I mean, I think the data center issue is just super alive and very new and very interesting for that reason, for politics, but also kind of for people in the country. And I, you know, I went out to Michigan. Uh-huh. Michigan has a bunch of important state level, but also national races. There are a couple of congressional races that are super important. There's a big Senate race, and then there's the governor's up for it's an open seat, so that's also a big race. And and so I kind of just wanted to see what actually was happening on the ground with data centers, and you know, whether it was really anything at all. And I did not expect to find much. I mean, I expected to go to these town, you know, to a town meeting or two, and I would find, you know, like three people from the Sierra Club. No offense, Sierra Club, but like, and then, you know, maybe like, you know, a couple of people who lived right at the site who didn't want the site literally next door to their house. And then maybe like one or two, you know, people who, I don't know, thought that they were communicating with outer space or something. I just didn't think it was going to be a huge thing. And when I went to these meetings, what I found was like huge numbers of people showing up, and people who, you know, had really not been actively involved in politics or in local issues. I mean, I talked to this one woman whose name was Starlet Peedle. That was her name. And she's about to turn 80. But she said, like, she'd been going to these meetings, and she was seeing people she hadn't seen in, like, 20 years in the town. So just a testament to, like, how many people were coming out. Mm-hmm. And the thing I was noticing there in a number of these townships, I went to seven of them, was just like how, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's an easy way to understand it, like how much like kind of strange bedfellows they were kind of bringing together. Like, you know, it was sort of environmentalists who were opposed, together with, you know, far right Michiganers for Jesus who were opposed, and coming together and kind of working together to organize, to do petitions, to recall their local officials, just to kind of like take basic political action together, and sort of leaving their politics at the door in the process of doing that. And I just thought that was very interesting. I mean, it's been like, I've been looking at kind of political divide stuff really since the beginning of the Trump era in 2016. And, you know, I feel like we've just gotten to the point where whatever event happens, you know, Republicans and Democrats who are kind of, you know, political, we'll see the event in very different ways, and there's really very, it's hard to kind of bridge that divide. It almost felt like, gosh, is the news meaningless? Is every, you know, like how can we kind of, is there an issue out there that actually would be something that Democrats and Republicans agree on? And the thing I found was that this was that issue. I mean, there's a very a well-known pollster we talk to a lot in Wisconsin, and he said, Sabrina, this is something that I haven't seen this in like more than a decade, that like Democratic resistance to data centers was exactly the same as their level of Republican resistance to data centers. And that's just like usually kind of, you know, one, if one is down, the other is up, and mm-hmm. and vice versa. But this was just something very new.
What do you think is the main like political issue that's kind of motivating these issues, motivating these people? When I say political issues, I don't mean that. I mean, like, what do they care about the most? What's like this unifying thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. People always ask that, which is it's the obvious question, right? Like, why are they against them? And I think, you know, they come with a pretty varying set of concerns. Some of them are worried about electricity prices. Some of them are worried about water and the environment. Some of them are worried about what the heck these things are going to do. You know, there were a lot of libertarians I talked to who said, like, I just don't believe that these things aren't going to be spying on us eventually. So really different, diverse kind of set of issues people came to the table with. But I think the thing that really is like punching the emotion into it and getting all these people to show up and having them care enough that they like come out on a Tuesday night and like, you know, stand in a long line for a microphone to say something is just that like there's so many of them and it's all at once. And they're kind of secretive. I mean, I kind of didn't quite understand this, but when I went there, you know, you don't know the company. There's a development that's happening. So, you know, there's a developer that comes to your town and says, I want to rezone, you know, plot of land X, Y, and Z plots of land that I bought from farmer A because because we want to do a project. But they don't say, we want to do a data center. So it's like I had we were I was like looking at some of the names of the projects around in the area in the different townships, and one was Project Cannoli, another there was Project Cherry Blossom, and then there was Project Mitten. These like kind of like names that, as I said in the video that I made about it, did not scream data center. And in fact, people were kind of pissed about that. They were like, "What? Why don't you just call it Project Disingenuous? Like, what the heck? Like, tell us what it is." And I think that that just, it just people feel like they're being lied to, and that is a very bad feeling. And it kind of taps into that like distrust of the political class and elites and all of that. And it just kind of It just like it's it was like there was something that just opened up in the chest of people who were kind of otherwise just like looking at this as kind of, I don't know, a question of electricity or a question of like, a bat nesting habitat. And just it, they were really angry, and I just wasn't prepared for how much kind of emotion there was in the issue.
I think that when I look at the data center thing, and I haven't like dug deeply into this yet, but the feeling that I kind of get is there's two different things at play. So one, depending on where you're listening from, a lot of people don't know the struggle, but when you're from, we'll call them the flyover states, there's a lot of competition in these states sometimes to bring huge builders to set up something in your city because that one thing might represent, like 20% of the jobs, or, some huge inflow of college-educated jobs in your place. So one of the biggest issues that I remember growing up in Omaha was like the dream of everybody was you go to college, you get your degree, and then you get the fuck out. You have to leave. You got to go to the coast. You don't want to be stuck in Nebraska for your whole life. And sometimes it wasn't even, I don't even want to go to the school. I just want to immediately go to the coast right now to go to escape. So sometimes these big plants setting up would be would be a big deal. People would fight over them. And I remember the competition for sports arenas would be the big one too. Like, how much is the city going to throw itself under the bus in order to give tax breaks or whatever else to these people building these giant stadiums? When I look at the data center thing, I'm plagued by this idea. So I'm a child of the internet. I like computer stuff. I understand software. Like I know what it is and all that. But I feel like there's a lot of older people in this country. Do you remember Mike Rowe's like bullshit jobs spiel?
No,
So I
remind
think
me.
there's this class of people that exist that look at some things like trucking and building stuff and your blue collar type work or just stuff where you can see it. And then there's this idea of like, what are all these jobs in cyberspace? I don't know what they do. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know who's working on what or how that represents real America. Like, we build things. We don't just type at computers all day. And I wonder, looking at the data center thing, if it can unify so many different people, especially older people, because of that, where it's like, not only are we bringing in and, cracking new ground in some city to build a, whatever giant plant that could already have its own issues, but now it's like for the sleek alien data center. And I don't even, even if you told me it was a data center, I don't think any of those people could articulate what exactly it does, you know?
Meaning that these are kind of like sort of Luddite type objections,
Well, yeah, I don't know. Well,
like I
hold on. That
like
phrased it really, really poorly. Sorry, let me. But no, I
okay, sorry.
kind of. No, no. I mean, kind of that, but also just like if you see somebody coming in and they want to build a textile manufacturing plant or something, you're like, okay, you can oppose it, but like you know what it is. But if somebody wants to move in and build a data center, like it's hard to put your finger on even what it is that the thing is making. And I feel like that kind of increases the air of mystery. Is a more
Yes.
charitable way of saying it to the people
Totally,
with it. Yeah.
totally, totally. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that like, look, there are a lot of reasons people don't want these things that kind of, are real reasons for them, but aren't actually true. I mean, a number of people were saying to me like, I'm just really worried about people's like fertility and health, and like that's not really known to be an issue at all with these things. But I do think there is, I think there's a generalized sense that, AI is this big, scary, weird thing that, that we don't quite, that we keep being told is kind of going to mean the end of like American employment and going to mean all of these very dire things. And, and perhaps, we've kind of wrestled with it a little bit with our teenage sons and daughters and chatbots. And, there's a lot of reasons why people distrust and are sort of struggling with AI. Now, of course, there are a lot of things AI is bringing us that are very good that we use every day that we kind of are also sort of glossing over. So I think there's like, but I do think you're right that it is about the kind of, you know, sort of unknownness of it. And then when you don't know, and then particularly when the projects themselves are kind of opaque, you project things you're afraid of into it. I find that, you know, sort of understandable that, you know, a lot of people told me, like, I just don't, you know, what are these things, why are they so big? You know, what is the, so are they can't be making memes in there because it's just like, there's, it's the space is too big. Like, what are they really doing in there? You know, I think the companies aren't helping themselves because they're just sort of saying, you know, we don't know anything about this and this has nothing to do, you know, it's all a bunch of kind of lawyers and PR people and not a lot of answers. And I think that is, you know, that's a problem. And I think really, like, you know, these things have been around for quite a while, obviously not in this scale, but they hadn't really been, you know, the target of like this type of really loud, tense political anger, you know, say 10 years ago. I mean, I'm in Ohio right now, and New Albany, Ohio was like made, you know, lots of data centers, kind of early gen versions of them. And, you know, it was politically pretty, you know, not contentious to build these things politically, locally, much at all. And as you pointed out before, when you asked a question ago, you know, Ohio, I just was listening to the governor, Governor DeWine, who is leaving office, talking about those data centers and saying, you know, it was great boon to the state of Ohio. It increased our economic activity. We have more jobs because of it. You know, it's something that was very helpful to us. But you know, the problem with these huge ones is that they are so much bigger. Some researcher was describing it to me. He said, you know, you could kind of say that, like, it's the difference between a mouse and an elephant. You know, they're both mammals, but they're very different animals. So, the data centers of yore were, you know, they just kind of looked like the 1980s, sort of small, you know, rooms with buildings with servers in them. The new ones are just entirely different.
Wait, can I ask, I think it's just for my own curiosity, compared to like a like an average supersize whatever Walmart, how big is a data center, like around that size? Or
so no, a data center, a hyperscale data center, you know, they vary, but the kind of average is 32 football fields.
Holy Jesus Christ.
It's huge. It takes like 15 minutes to drive past it. And it is it requires, and again, this varies, but on average, and the one I saw in Michigan was this, requires enough electricity that would power a million homes.
I saw that claim.
So that is just, it's just, it just kind of a gargantuan, you know, drag. I mean, it, you know, I was dragging the system might be the wrong, you know, it needs a lot of power, and it is a huge space. I mean, and some of them are much larger than that. So
Jesus,
and the fact that, like, there's now a race, kind of space race, but data center race going on among the major tech companies, and you feel that when you're on the ground. I mean, these companies, these developers are like, we need to know the answer now. And, you know, and some of these towns are saying, well, God, we were like arguing about a stoplight for like 9 months last year.
Yeah.
You want the answer to like the biggest development project in the history of the town in 3.5 weeks? Like, that's a big, like, we don't, you know, what? So it's just the fact that, like, they're happening everywhere all at once, and they're, you know, and they're so big, and they're, and the projects themselves are quite opaque. I think that is the thing that people are really reacting to.
Yeah, the size thing, even if it seems dumb, I understand that a lot more as well. Like, it feels like the beginning of any like sci-fi horror movie or something, where you have a small city and then like that's the data center, and there's just like this sleek black alien building that the entire building
is like Darth Vader,
twice the size of your entire city, and you're like, well, that doesn't seem to make much sense. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, how do what? It just doesn't compute, you know. And I mean, Eddington did, in fact, if you saw Eddington, it was, you know, the piece of the plot was the data center and everybody kind of like react, you know, not wanting the data center. And then, of course, in the end, it's built. But it is, I think, kind of in the cultural sort of in our national consciousness, you know, this sort of looming kind of scary thing that represents like something maybe awful that's going to happen in the future. Like, mm-hmm. that's how Hollywood, you know, that's kind of like where it is in the national consciousness. Now, obviously, like, you know, we all use ChatGPT, we all use our phones. So there's a, you know, there's a reality there that kind of our brains are skimming past when we want to be afraid of these things. But it is causing, I think, a lot of political, new, odd, interesting political angst.
When these places are choosing, or when these developers are choosing places to build, are they picking these based on, like, is the cost of land actually important, or is it like the energy costs in these states or cities are subsidized, or?
It's much more about power. I mean, the thing that people don't understand about the data center, these new ones, is that it's just like the single biggest obstacle that the developers and the tech companies have is how are they going to get enough power that will power a million, you know, that would power enough to run the thing. So a lot of, as I understand it, apart from my colleagues on the business side, who've done a lot of interesting work on this, part of the reasoning in the rural areas, is that there is some kind of, like extra power in the grid and that like power is kind of a reason why they're going more to rural areas now than anywhere else, but mm-hmm. also, you know, they're so big that they need, like, you know, lots of space to kind of spread out. Now, a number of them are now being built, you know, because you have to kind of have like transmission lines going to the thing. So you have to kind of, these are big considerations for where these things are placed. Mm-hmm. But increasingly now developers are saying they're starting to place them near, gas pipelines, because that would be kind of an independent source of power that they could then use to power the thing. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, them being based near solar farms, near wind farms, but that's not nearly enough juice mm-hmm. for them to really operate. So, you know, that's the biggest consideration when developers are looking around for land. It's much less the cost of land and more kind of like what's the proximity to the grid.
I feel like I'd have this nightmare scenario if I owned any data center to where you remember I don't even think this was true, but I'm just a hater, I don't know. You remember in the big Palisade fires in Southern California, mm-hmm. for a while, one of the talking points was that all of the soybean farmers, was that it, in Northern California, were like, they had a hold on all the water, so everybody in Southern California had to die in the fire because there was some type of crop, or almond, it might have been almond crops.
Almonds was the famously water thirsty.
Yeah, and they're like, well, no, we're holding the water. I'm imagining, like, was it a decade ago already, Texas had that, they had a cold winter, and they had a snowstorm, and like the whole state was like out of power for a little bit.
Yes.
I'm imagining some like rural city or rural town, you know, having some event like this where they're completely out of power, and then you've got like your data center, you know, 100 yards away that's running on gigawatts worth of energy whose service is completely uninterrupted. I feel like it would only take one event like that for every place around the country to be like, I don't want to get it out of here, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, that is a big concern, right? Because it's like, so are we all going to be okay at the peak of summer when everybody's running their air conditioner and this thing is going full blast? Like, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be able to answer that question. And that is, you know, that was a problem in Texas. And it's not, you know, and a lot of these grids are quite old and the infrastructure is quite, you know, limping. I mean, Michigan, residents in Michigan have had a couple of rate hikes already this year, having nothing at all to do with data centers, but having to do with like trying to update the grid, which is, you know, kind of a 20th century thing that, or 21st in part, obviously, but like, you know, you need to spend a lot of money to kind of get it back up to speed. So that is really a concern that, like, you know, these things are going to be drawing massive amounts of power. I mean, you know, people are talking about bringing nuclear online, or in some cases back online. I mean, I talked to someone last week who was talking about people kind of trying to get something going with reviving the kind of the Three Mile Island, or the part that was still, hadn't been decommissioned. Reviving or kind of giving new life to coal-fired power plants, because just like the amount of electricity that's going to be required to power these things is just like colossal.
What do you think is the overall trajectory right now of these? Are these like people that are coming into these meetings to lodge their complaints, but ultimately these will all probably get built? Or do you think a significant number of these are going to be stopped? Or and then also just curious on some of these mega data centers, what is the time scale we're looking at for completion? Is this like a decade-long project? Is this like a few years?
Not a decade, a couple years though. So it's not kind of, they're not going to be done tomorrow, but they, it'll take a year or two, or potentially even three. I think in terms of the meetings and people being angry, I mean, they are turning many away. It depends on, it's all very kind of specific to the individual township. I mean, the one I was at in Michigan, the township actually voted against rezoning so that the data center could come in, and then were sued by the company, and then kind of ended up having to settle and just allow them to come in. So that's happening. But on the other hand, lots of towns are, are kind of delaying by asking for more documents and talking about bat habitats and various things like that. And that, because it's a race, the developer, if they sense that this is going to be months and months and months and months of haggling, will move on to another town.
Yeah. This reminds me
So
of like
it.
when housing markets are hot or whatever, and you want to make an offer on a home, and somebody's like, that's great, but like if you don't buy this today, we've got like three people who are probably going to make a cash offer tomorrow. So it's everybody is
Exactly,
like moving a little bit faster than they're comfortable with. Yeah.
That's exactly that's the right analogy. So I do think, and apparently, this is a little bit technical, but the way that the companies come in, the developers are not working for the tech companies. The developers, not always. So developers are, independent companies that are trying to kind of like scout around, figure out where they could base something, how close it is to the grid, and then quickly trying to kind of get a project underway, and then, make a contract or an agreement with an Oracle, with a Google, with a Meta. So it is a little bit kind of wild westy, where you have all of these developers like flinging themselves at like locations and townships, and which is why it feels like, oh my God, these things are happening everywhere. Not all of those will end up in projects, So say you'll have, four or five kind of in one area, and that would end up being one project, because honestly, like you could, the connection to the grid and the amount of power it will draw would not sustain more than one, right? So it is a little bit like a land grab right now, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be exactly that many data centers, but still like a lot, and it's happening all over the state, and it's happening all of a sudden. So that's very kind of, it's disconcerting to people. And I think, it's going to be important in some of these races. I mean, Maine already, you see Mills dropping out, and we don't know if it's necessarily because of data center stuff, but she did veto a moratorium. Maine was the first state to pass a moratorium on data centers. She vetoed it. In Michigan, the data center stuff is coming into play because Governor Whitmer was very instrumental in getting tax breaks passed for the data centers. And someone, I'm trying the someone in her cabinet, I'm trying to remember her title and I can't, but is the Democratic front runner in the governor's race in Michigan, would be replacing Whitmer, who's term limited. And her husband actually is the vice president of one of the big developers. And when I was in these townships, they all knew that and they were pissed, Democrats. So I just think, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out in some of these races, and what potentially, is this a way that our politics could be different? Will this end up being a wedge issue because one party really claims it and then runs with it? It's very interesting to me kind of what might happen.
Yeah, I feel like the left is kind of always predisposed to like not like the big corporations for, you know, whatever political reasons. But then I feel like over the past 10 years, I feel like the right has conspiracy theorized, what, I don't know, there's a word I'm looking for, but like they turned everything into a massive conspiracy and everything is evil and everything is crazy. So I can see them being very energized to hate the projects as well. So then it's going to come down a lot too. But then there's also this weird thing where I'm sure you've noticed this in reporting where you'll have like a national level conversation and it doesn't really track the local conversation at all. Like people in the local level could have a much different opinion of it. So two other quick questions. One, I guess, so a long time ago, I used to have, I had a friend who owned a big, it was like a Bitcoin. I think it was some crypto related mining thing. But like when he would talk to me about these things, he said that one of the most important things was there are certain areas in the United States that had subsidized electricity, and you could be paying such lesser rates if you set your place up in one of these areas versus another. When they're talking about these new plants, I imagine the consumption is so big, you're not talking about dramatically subsidized energy from the state or city or anything like that, right? Like these companies are, that's not like part of the argument or anything.
No, it's not, definitely not part of the argument. And also, see previous note of how much money the tech companies have and how much they're plowing into this. I mean, we do a lot of reporting on this, and the most recent number is $700 billion in the 12 months of 2026, which is just
Jeez.
a phenomenal amount of money. I mean, it's like it's I think 3/4 of the way to the Pentagon budget. I mean, it's just massive, and you feel the effect kind of on the ground in these places. No, they're not kind of searching for subsidized electricity. They're searching for kind of a combination of, water that they can use to cool, transmission lines that hook to power where there's enough extra space in the grid that they can draw on it and pay for it, and potentially kind of enough space for, gas generation or wind and solar or other other forms of power, so that if they need more, they can kind of
Draw from.
build out and expand. So yeah, it's not really about subsidized electricity.
Okay. And then the second question I have. So when you build huge places near cities, usually you can argue for, you know, like a bunch of job creation. Are these huge plants, would they be? Because I feel like when I think of like data centers and everything, you need some engineers to run it. But like, I'm curious, are these like on average, do they seem like they would be generating a lot fewer jobs or economic, you know, output for the town? Or what is the feeling on that?
Yeah, that's another thing a lot of people are talking about. Basically, these things, they take thousands of people to build them. So a lot of times the unions and the building trades are very pro, because this is jobs for the building period, and that's a period of a couple of years, so it's not insignificant. But ultimately, and I just heard Governor DeWine say this morning, that they don't really employ anybody at all. I mean, it's 15 or 20 people. It's some tiny, tiny number, and that is a consideration when you think about giving tax breaks and bending over backwards to help build these things, that like they're really not going to bring employment to your town. Now, you could, you couldn't have an arrangement in which you say you don't want to give them tax breaks, or in which you say, they need to pay for your fire department for the next 20 years, or they need to pay, there is kind of rent you can extract from them, but they're not really that helpful in terms of, labor force, and kind of reducing unemployment rate, type kind of, a benefit. It's just, they don't employ that many people. I mean, one guy was saying it's going to be, a couple of security guards and like a and a robot dog or something like that. I
Jeez.
mean, that might be like a little kind of, probably a
Yeah.
little extreme, but yeah, they employ very few people. So I was talking to a guy who on Friday, who was the head of the kind of township township association in the United States, so talks to a lot of kind of administrators of small towns, and he was saying that some of these things are much less advantageous from the jobs perspective than like a large office building, and they're way bigger, but they just don't, because they don't really employ people. They don't, you don't even have the people, you don't, not only do you not have the jobs, you don't have the people coming in and then paying, property taxes or whatever else. It's just a big, computer chip, basically.
Okay, and then I'm trying to be mindful because you said you'd leave it like 6 minutes ago.
Yes. Yes.
Final, just last quick question, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is I hear so much about like the water issue and the clean water mm-hmm. consumption and all this. Is this like a, do you think this is like a real issue, or are people fixated on this because it's a good talking point, but it doesn't really track, or what?
Yeah. So it's a good question. The answer is it's changed over a relatively short amount of time. So it had been a very relevant question. I mean, mm-hmm. there are some early gen ones of these things, in the hyperscale ones that do have evaporative systems which use a huge amount of water. The more recent ones that are being built are what they call closed loop. I was talking actually to a colleague who does a lot of reporting on the business kind of aspect of these things, and she said that the closed looped ones were fairly low intensive when it came to water use.
Okay.
So I think people are kind of reacting to kind of like how they were built 5 years ago and projecting that into how they're being built now, and they're just kind of not being built to be as wasteful as they had been.
Gotcha. Does the New York Times have an official stance on micro looting the data centers? I'm sorry. Do you have any final thoughts or anything for us? I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. Or?
I don't. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Cool.
And I'm happy people would be interested if they are, because I think it's like, it's totally a live wire in our politics. It is a huge, huge thing happening. Mm-hmm. Did I mention $700 billion? $700 billion is a lot.
Jeez. All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming to chat with us about it. And if there are any articles that you want to chat about, just let us know. Cool.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.